I did introduce to you Dave Lamb. He's the director of the Precision Ag Research Company. He's going to be talking about active optical sensors and our opportunities. We've been working around with these for a little while, the opportunities to use them in this sort of research to understand our resources.
Right. If you think Mark talks quick, you're just going to see something else. This is a subset of work that's been done within the University of Queensland, but it has quite a large range of interest groups involved. So whilst I acknowledge the contribution of Mark and Derek, Derek's the guy that's been running the IT in this show, there are quite a lot of other people behind this, but I'll make it quick. Look, Sundown Pastoral Company's got a lot of airplay in this last day. They're an example of the context that we've set ourselves to work in. Let me put it to you. They've got 120 mobs rotating around 400 paddocks across a number of farms in this region. They are running high-input perennial pastures, predominantly fescue, lucerne, and rye. What they require is up-to-date forage and growth rate data in order to help them trigger their rotations. They work within a tight target of green rye matter, 2-3 tonnes per hectare, and at the end of the day, they confess that their livestock managers can't assess biomass to save their lives. Now, pastures for space is an ideal candidate of a remote technology to look at monitoring pastures and pasture resource. And we heard Graham Donald talk a bit about that this morning in the plenary sessions. Just to recap, it's a MODIS satellite derived product which relies on measuring the NDVI, the normalised difference vegetation index, if you like, the difference between the red and the near infrared reflectances of the ground. It's a MODIS satellite, which means that we're looking at a spatial resolution of 250 metres by 250 metres. Most of the work involved with calibrating that product from the satellite data has been done in WA. Very little work has been done in Eastern Australia. That's the product that we have available. This is what 250 metre pixels really means when we're looking at a 50 hectare paddock. There are a small number of pixels that may fall on clean pieces of ground where you get fairly good quality estimates, if you like, of biomass based on the NDVI values. But then there are other pixels that are likely to fall on paddock boundaries. There's a paddock boundary there, paddock boundaries, or be corrupted by other sorts of vegetation types of composition, remnant beds and so forth. So 250 metre pixels in the context of this Australia, certainly our region, is a real tough ask for getting reliable biomass data from remotely sensed products. We've been looking at some on-ground alternatives to using remotely sensed products, be they satellite or airborne, and not only on-ground, but also active sensors rather than passive. Satellite and airborne imaging systems rely on the reflectance of sunlight from the ground colour, which the near-infrared and retrospective studies have derived. However, those values are very tightly connected to the illumination conditions on the day. There are another class of sensors, which are active optical sensors, that actually have their own onboard light sources that illuminate the ground beneath, and these sensors have the ability then to measure the reflectance back from their own source. And, for example, if the source is modulated, pulsed on and off rapidly, then the sensors can be tweaked to look only for a synchronous coming back at the same modulation frequency, synchronous detection. It allows you to operate these sensors irrespective of ambient light conditions, so they can play on light. These sorts of sensors have been getting a lot of airplay in the grains industry as objective tools for estimating tiller numbers, leaf mowing, and so forth, in crops during their green grub stage. And so we've been doing a little bit of work recently in getting these over pastures as well. They are a photosynthetically active biomass-based sensor, so things like composition, prior composition and the inclusion of stress material in the footprint, all the growing ability of these sensors to work as well, only working on the photosynthetically active component of the reflective signature. But nonetheless, in monoculture, for example, or in compositions, we have similar plant types. The results suggest that they can give you some reasonable utility in estimating biomass, calibrating for estimating biomass. So rather than taking an aerial image of NDVI, these sensors can be incorporated with GPS on quad bikes and skip around the pasture, and effectively what you've got there is a paint of NDVI extracted from that quad bike mounted sensor. You still need your ground truthing, even if the guy's doing it, desperate looking blokes. You've got to have the ground truth. You don't have to do yourself a calibration between the NDVI and the particular species you're after. Here's an example of an investigation that Derek and Mark led a year or so back in Chrome Dog, looking at fescue monoculture passes up through Burrell in front of the Sundown Castle Company Holdings. There's a whole range of possible indices, ranging from the simple near infrared reflectance coming back from the sensor through to combinations. There's a well known NDVI, but there are others. There are dampened NDVIs, which are designed to combat variability in underlying soil colour. A whole range of indices that come from a whole plethora of references. And ultimately, the trick was to go and work out which one of these indices performed best in terms of the error prediction. Biomass, and what we found was that the soil adjusted vegetation index provided the best level of explanation of variance in the sensor response to underlying biomass changes and gave us a correspondingly lower root mean square error of validation when tested against the validation data set. We're looking here at an error of about 280 kilograms of dry matter per hectare, which is round about what you would get for a visual observation from a trained observer, but this is an effective tool that can be put in the hands of anybody. That's just an example of the nature of the calibration. Like any photosynthetic reactive biomass measure, it tends to saturate at the higher levels of biomass. Basically, what's happening is that these sensors can only see within a few leaf layers down into the canopy, and that means that any other biomass that stacks in a bed doesn't get seen. Within a range of about 200 through to about 2,000 kilograms per hectare, it gives some reasonable predictability. It's an example of the sort of data that these optical sensors are giving back. So your NDVI transect data sufficiently calibrated or suitably calibrated, then of course you give your photosynthetic reactive biomass, in this case kilograms of dry matter in that particular site. And then it's up to whatever interpolation technique you may wish to apply to create yourself, if you like, a map. Now, here's an example of a notice-derived fruit and otter map for the entire Newstead farm in Burrell. These are roughly 50 hectare paddocks. Now, here's an example of four paddocks in rotation up here. And this is the same four paddocks in rotation. The biomass maps, the fruit and otter maps generated using your ground crop circle. You can see the whole issue about the 250 metre or 6 hectare pixel resolution. And you can get a sense, for example, if you look down here at this part of the paddock there, there's some indication that there is some heavier biomass pixels, so they're mixed. If you look at the higher resolution data, you can get a sense of the why those pixels are slightly coloured, weighted towards the heavier biomass, because indeed there are some regions which are considerably higher biomass. It's just a nice little comparison of an example of the on-ground sensor when deployed versus the current offer satellite-derived product. Bearing in mind that because we're talking about the same data, the NDVI, then whatever models have been developed for satellite-based products can conceivably apply to the on-ground sensor-derived products as well. What you don't want to be doing is an enormously time and labour-intensive set of transects if you want to go through and define those estimates. Mark and Derek and a few others have been looking at coming up for a given paddock with transect strategies. What sort of transects can you do at a quick pass to give you an indication of the average biomass on offer in a particular pasture, but in such a way that you get the same sort of characteristics of variance in actual fact in some sort of indication of spatial variability in those truncated transects, which reflects the spatial variability in the And here's an example. When you compare the data derived from this very detailed transects here, you find that a single transect across a diagonal in this particular case mimics, if you like, the same sorts of characteristics of the whole field in terms of average and variance and so forth. So that's one strategy that's being tossed around at the moment, is can the transect approach be shortcutted into truncated transects? Your ground coverage is the issue. 18 months ago, we performed a trial using these same LED-based optical sensors in the belly of an aircraft and scooting around at about 120 knots and 4 metres off the deck. We did this in a well-behaved situation. This is synchro soil, laser-level fields. This is a comparison of the crop circle derived, in this case, vegetation index from an aircraft flying a full air deck with the actual airborne image taken at the same time using the imaging system. Okay, which is not unlike that, that can be derived from, for example, panchromatic sharp and quick bird imagery or incoming satellite imagery. You can see that the different zones or the zonal nature of the field is pretty well reproduced. So, whilst there's no way that we're going to be flying aircraft at 4 metres above the Bentley Hill Country, there is work already underway in the States. Holland Scientific are developing a system that can be operated 20 metres over the deck using very super bright, ultra bright LEDs. We have a postgraduate chamber in the physics department who's building a laser based system as well. So, we should be able to get these sensors much higher above the ground in safer territory. And ultimately, there's a whole raft of opportunities with this sort of class of sensor. Being using them in the truncated transit mode for a rapid fire pass for assessment tools to spot onto a ute or a quad bike with a dog, or whether it can be integrated with other data sets. We've already heard Dave Slate Micro talk about the need to integrate GPS data with IMS data. If there are issues, which there are, about pasture composition, then maybe there's some composition of templates that could be created. With the CRC Space and Information, we're looking at integrating those with growth, pasture growth, and grazing algorithms, for example, grass growth, and other third-party data sets like EM38. Thank you.